Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
But right now, let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Our buddy Logan Paulson joins us now. Hello, Logie.
What's up, boys? How you doing? That game sounds terrible, by the way. I don't know if I'd get one single song ever.
Do you think you know more or less than Grant about music?
Way less. There's no way Grant knows less than I do about music.
I don't know, bro. I might give you a run for your money.
We got to get you guys in here together at one point and play it.
Who's your favorite band all time?
Or name a band.
Oh, God. Like Nirvana? That's a band, right?
That's a band.
Okay. How many of their songs can you name?
Smells Like Teen Spirit, and I think that might be it, Coach.
I wouldn't have had Smells Like Teen Spirit.
And Grant just listened to that album like 2 days ago,
that's
by the
true.
Way, for part of like a rock fantasy league that he's in.
I don't believe that for one second.
It's a weird thing, man, just trying to have something to talk
are you,
to.
Are you not? I thought you were like, you strike me as a guy who'd be really into music. Are you not?
Not even a little bit, no. I'm into...
Dean, are you a big music guy?
I mean, I'm a human being, so yes. But I've, you know, I happen to work with my dear friend who may be a pod person from a different planet.
I like to listen to documentaries. I like to listen to talk radio. I like to listen to film breakdowns from Logan Paulson. I don't spend a lot of time listening to music.
That's fair. Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I feel like, you know, that's a luxury I don't have time for these days.
That's why you and I get along, in addition to being... brothers, as everybody knows.
That's right.
I don't know if you're older or younger. How old are you?
I'm 34.
No, you're my older brother. There he is.
Yeah.
All right.
Irish twins. Really, there you go.
Let's get to the bottom of this defense. Here's what I want to know. Why were they able to cover so much better? All season long, it seems like they've had receivers running wide open. Against Tampa Bay, it didn't happen. What was different?
Yeah, so what I think is, I think a big thing is that the Washington football team's secondary has kind of found a nice kind of mixture. You know, chemistry is a big thing that's thrown around all the time. I think this group has a really nice chemistry. Cam Curl being in there with Bobby McCain, I think the communication's much better. I think moving Landon Collins, you know, he's still playing safety, but kind of having him playing close to the line of scrimmage, I think is super advantageous. And I just think the mixture is better. I think the linebacking group, you know, Jamin, I'm the first one to tell you that he's struggling bad in the run. Fitting runs, fighting off blocks, but as a coverage player, he seems to understand concepts really well and can kind of match stuff and reads quarterback's eyes well. And Cole's been doing better in that department also. So I think all of those factors kind of come together to just give a better coverage group. And I think Jack Del Rio honestly did a really good job of kind of mixing in some stuff that Tom Brady wasn't, you know, hadn't seen before. A little bit more drop eight than I was expecting to see. And Tom Brady just got the ball out of his hands so quickly on that, got the ball to the check down. So I think it was, you know, multifactorial. I think everyone's playing better. I think the mixture's better. And I also think Jack Del Rio got a really nice game.
Logan, we just debated this, Grant and I did, for the first hour of the show. Putting you in a box here a little bit. So we're eliminating some nuance from the discussion. But not having Chase Young, it's a bummer the way that injury happened. Just didn't look like that crazy of a play. And just shows you how fragile this whole grand experiment of football is at times. But how much worse off will they be without Chase Young? A little or a lot?
So I think this is a really, like you said, it's a very nuanced question, but, you know, like, we don't have enough time for the nuance of it. So I'm going to say, I think when you lose a freak of nature like Chase Young and the way that offenses need to prepare for him, I think it is a big detriment, right? But I do think that there is some kind of net positive in not having him. I think you can do more stuff. Like another thing that I saw Jack Del Rio doing in the game was he was using James Smith-Williams and Casey Tuhill as kind of that zone dropper, right? He didn't feel pressured to have him rush those guys rush the passer as much. So they were kind of almost playing like rush linebackers, which kind of gives you more nuanced looks, more complicated looks in pass coverage. And I think that that might be, though those are some positives. Like I said, you can never replace an individual specimen like Chase Young, but maybe the aggregate, you know, maybe the aggregate loss isn't as bad as some fans might think.
I worry a little bit about defending the run. It's been a strength for them. It's something they've done very well. I actually think Chase Young's great at it and rarely gets a lot of credit for it. And I think this is a matchup, actually, for one of the first times all season where a team's going to try to run the ball. I mean, Cam Newton, I just don't think he can throw it that well anymore. You've got Chuba Hubbard and Christian McCaffrey and a pretty physical, big offensive line. I could actually see them trying to run it, and losing Chase could hurt them there, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think losing Chase and Montez, like, you know, everyone talks about their sack and their pressure numbers being down, but those guys are, because they are such big, physical, athletic monsters, they do a really nice job against the run. Like, they really negate people's ability to attack the edges. Jack Del Rio plays a very unique style of defensive end, style of crash nine, where you kind of have to blunt the tackle back, attacking his inside shoulder. There's no true contain player. And then I think that that is, you know, having those big bodies on the edges is super advantageous for that kind of defense. So I do think that's something that is going to be challenging for this group to negotiate. However, I think you'll see a lot of five-man defensive structure along the defensive line. I think you'll see Ioannidis, Payne, Allen in there, and then let you know, James Smith-Williams, who's a big guy in his own right, and Casey too will play more of that outside linebacker, stand-up edge rusher kind of role. So I think that's kind of what I would expect from this group in order to kind of mitigate some of that run-first philosophy that I also expect to see this week.
Logan Paulson with us here on Grant and Danny. So one of the excuses that we'd always hear, you know, when production wasn't there for Chase Young or for anybody really, oh, they're chipped, they're double-teamed all the time. And it's like, well, a lot of really good pass rushers are chipped to double-team all the time, and they accumulate way more stats. But let's just let's say that that's true, okay, and that the teams are double-teaming and chipping, et cetera. You would think now, if you're game planning against this Washington defense, who's the guy that's going to get chipped and double teamed that much more now, or bothered more? It's got to be John Allen, right? How do you see him reacting to this? If I'm an offensive coordinator, I'm not letting 93 be the guy that wreaks havoc.
Yeah, so I would totally agree with you. But I think, I think John just played outstanding. Like, when he's found his one-on-one matchup, he's done a good job of beating it. I think, like, to your point, he's probably not going to see that as much. But one of the things that five-man surface gives you is it gives you one-on-ones. And not only has John done a good job of exploiting those matchups, but Jack Del Rio has done a really nice job of calling internal stunts to get him in one-on-one situations and calling pressure packages to get him in a one-on-one situation. So I think that is something that I've been super impressed with, kind of, you know, right before the bye and right after the bye. They've always managed to get him in favorable matchups, and he's exploited them when it comes time to that. Now, can they still do that without the firepower on the edges or kind of the big names on the edges? I think that'll be interesting to see, but based on the schematic stuff I've seen thus far, I would expect the answer to be yes.
Logan Paulson with us on Grant and Danny. We'll get to the Panthers breakdowns that he's done in just a moment. Swing to the other side of the ball. Taylor Heinicke was much better this week. What did he do at an improved rate?
Yeah, so I think it's a couple things, right? One, I think they were just able to sustain some drives, right, which is good for offensive play callers. You can get deeper into the playbook. I love how they called two choice routes in this game to Gibson and McKissick, which is something that this offense hasn't seen. I know those are two plays, but they were two first downs, right, which extended drives. And I think that kind of nuance, the play calling is great. And the team did a great job running the football, which takes a little bit of pressure off Heinicke. Heinicke, I do think, sees man-to-man coverage really, really well. I think that that's good, you know what I mean? And Todd Bowles, they run a lot of it, and they run a lot of it in very specific situations. I think this defense this week is going to challenge him a little bit more. They like to run a lot of man coverage. They've gone out and brought in coverage guys to play man coverage, but they mix in a little bit more cover three, a little bit more cover two on early, or cover two on third downs and cover three on early down and distance. So that's when I get concerned about Taylor Heinicke, is when teams play man, which he sees really well, and then they play other coverages, which I'm sure he sees fine, but he doesn't tend to perform as well against those coverages. So, you know, obviously, like, that's something to keep an eye on going this week against Carolina.
So, again, I just, you know how good Terry McLaurin is. how much can they find besides him just to take the pressure off and keep moving the football? You mentioned this week I thought it was pretty good. Anything sustainable out of that?
Yeah, so one of the things I loved about it is they got multiple targets by multiple different guys, and I felt I think obviously, like, I don't know if Ricky Seals-Jones is going to play, but I think that's a little bit of a loss. But Bates came in, did a nice job. Dax Milne with some touches. Cam Sims drawing a PI that gets, you know what I mean? The depth showed up in a really nice way this last weekend, and if they can sustain that, then it doesn't have to be Terry and number two wide receiver. It can be Terry and four or five other guys that are really good at what the offensive staff is asking them to do. And I thought they did a nice job of getting those players in the right situation. So, thank you. So I think that's the way I look at it.
Logan Paulson with us on Grant and Danny. All right, let's shift over to Carolina. I went back and watched that game. I'm sure you've studied that game pretty closely. It's being made into, like, I saw someone write something along the lines of Cam Newton was as dynamic as ever. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He played seven snaps. One was a 4-yard run. The other was like a dart 3-yard pass. He completed three passes for 8 yards. I need everyone to settle down. But it was cool. He was back. He scored two touchdowns on his first two plays. I'm stunned that they're going to start him at quarterback rather than like use him as that kind of goal line weapon. What'd you see from Carolina from Cam specifically?
Yeah, honestly, like I kind of had the same thought as you. I thought, you know, bring Cam on. He gives you, like, if I ever become a head coach in the NFL, I'm definitely leaning towards having a package and finding a big athletic football player to play like this Cam Newton role. Like, you can steal down in distance. You can, you know, steal fourth and one. You're more effective in the red zone. I think it's a tremendous weapon. So I thought, why not just expand that package? Let PJ Walker, who did a nice job last week, kind of just facilitate the offense, hope he doesn't make any mistakes, instead of having a guy who's been here for 10 days try to start a quarterback in the NFL. I don't think that's the right way to approach it. But, yeah, to me, like, there was nothing to be gleaned from his performance in the game that's going to make me say he's ready to start a quarterback. So I go back and I watch New England, and the last half of New England last year, you know, when it was at last year, yeah, like, he just didn't look like it was there for him. He's not anticipating throws. His arm strength isn't what it was. He's got a good arm still, but he was so reliant on that big arm for such a long time that it becomes almost impossible for him to now anticipate throws when he's got to anticipate them. So to me, like, if I'm the Washington football team, I'm getting ready for Cam Newton to run 12 to 15 quarterback powers in this game, 5 to 10 zone reads with Christian McCaffrey, lots of bubble screens, lots of screens to the running back, and then take the occasional shot downfield. So if I'm telling these linebackers, these defensive linemen, I'm like, put your mouthpiece in, put your neck roll on, because he's not going to let's make him beat us with his arm, because right now he has not shown a consistent ability to do that in, you know, almost a year of football. So that's what I'm kind of looking at. And if I'm Jack Del Rio, that's what I'm pointing to here.
Football expert, film breaker, downer, and spokesman for the Trade Association of Quinoa, Logan Paulson with us here on Grant and Danny. Logan, I want to go back to the offense real quick. Where are the big plays going to come from? I think you need an easy button every now and again. It's not going to happen every quarter, every week. A lot of teams, you know, thrive more on downfield passing game than Washington, you know, has in their DNA. But I still think they need something easy, even if it's just a field position changer here and there. Where can those come from, or is it just not in the cards?
So, yeah, I think that is the big question, in my opinion, for the offense coming out of last week. I thought they did a lot of things really well. They ran the football well. They did great with the quick game. They executed when they had to do it on short underneath stuff. But they don't have that easy button. And I remember talking to Kyle Shanahan early on. It's like it's so hard for offenses to do that down in and down out, week in and week out. It just isn't sustainable, right? Even if you look at New Orleans, for example, when Jameis Winston was playing quarterback for them, they were running the ball a ton, a lot of short underneath stuff, but every once in a while, probably 4 to 5 times a game, they could take a shot. They had enough horsepower on the outside to make that happen. I don't know if that's here right now. I don't know if that player is on the roster, a person with kind of tremendous speed to complement Terry's skill set. Not that Terry's slow, but I don't think they have it. So that's something that I think you got to watch out for this week against this Carolina defense. It's very opportunistic. They generate a ton of pressure with their defensive ends. Can they go on drives and sustain that level of performance for long periods of time? And history says no, which is something that makes me very, very nervous about this team trying to get a W this weekend.
Tight end spot, you know a thing or two about, decade in the league. I mean, all of a sudden, they're pretty thin here, right? You lost Logan Thomas. He's probably not coming back. This week, anyway, I should say. You have now lost Ricky Seals-Jones, who's week to week. So we're talking about John Logan Paulson Bates. We got Samus Reyes and Terrence Hemingway here at the tight end position. So they're thin all of a sudden. Is this the week we see Reyes catch his first pass?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. You know, it's so funny. When he did get some repetitions last week, he still shows a lot of that green kind of youthfulness at the position. And I will say I was really impressed with Bates. I thought he came out and did what he needed to do. He was excellent in the run game, and he caught the ball when they threw it to him. Nice third down conversion. And in some ways, obviously, like you're trying to be, I'm trying to be a glass half full kind of guy here, I think he helps the offense more than Ricky Seals-Jones, because one of the areas they've been deficient is running the football, and he excels at run blocking, and he created some nice running lanes for the running back this last weekend. So maybe it's a net gain, because you can lean on the running game a little bit more. You don't have to rely on Taylor Heinicke to throw the football as much. We'll see if that bears any fruit. But, yeah, I think, you know, with regards to Sam East, he's definitely going to need to step up this week and start making some plays or just start contributing in a more effective way on first and second down, because, like, that's what they like to do. They like to get in two tight end sets. They like to utilize that personnel grouping. And if that's completely dead, then you say, what else are we going to do here? Because you don't have a ton of depth at wide receiver either, or a ton of depth that gets you really excited. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that this week.
Logan, I know you're not big on in the online circles of the world, but there's a meme, and a meme is like a picture with words, where it's these two Spider-Men that look at each other, and they point at each other, and they're the exact same Spider-Man, and they're just pointing at each other. I've got a John Bates, Logan Paulson, Spider-Man meme vibe thing going right now.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons I like him so much is because he reminds me a lot of myself.
Yeah.
You know, he's not necessarily the most athletic guy in the world, but he's just a tough dude, just a tough guy who likes playing football.
I just wish he had a little more wiggle. You know, like I see him out in space, and it's like an 18-wheeler trying to change lanes or turn around or something.
I see someone going low, and it's like a...
I said like the other day, I'm like, yeah. I hope Logan wouldn't be offended by this, but it's like if Logan was like running to the sideline and the guy was going to meet him there and he has to make him miss, like you have to stop and then back up and then go the other way slowly and then get up to speed. I've got those vibes from Bates where like every tackle looks like he just got de-cleated.
Yeah, like he's
going
to lose
heels.
His leg?
There's no twitch to this guy.
To defend my guy Bates, I think he had a really nice kind of balance, acrobatic work on that ball that he fumbled in the flat. And then I think all he was thinking about in his mind was do not fumble this football. Because you see him, he goes into like little Giants mode, two hands on the football, head down, I'm not making any moves. And he gets flipped over and lands on his head. So I think once he loosens up a little bit, that's the first time he's got any type of real burn in the game. Like, I think you're going to see a more
twitchy,
fluid athlete. Yeah, I don't know about twitchy. I'm not going to give him twitchy yet, but I think a more fluid athlete.
I like some twitch. But I will say, I get steamed up for him. Like, there's a role, just like with you, right? I tell you this, you're a good pal of mine. I don't want you to be my TE1, right? But, like, there's a role
Logan. Dude, I got a funny story about that. So did I ever tell you? So when I was playing a lot in 2011, 2012, 2013, the head scout at the time came up to me and was like, hey, and we were at lunch or whatever, and he goes, just know this, like totally unsolicited, just know this, like I hate the way you play football and I'm trying to replace you every day. And I was like, well, that's fair enough, you know? And so obviously a lot of people feel the same way you do. Logan Paulson, not a TE1.
No, wow. But I would never have said that. Wait, they walked up to you? When
that's
was
very
this?
Functional.
When
that sounds
this?
Great.
This was 11, 12. It was, I can't say his name because like I don't want to get him in trouble because he's had some other stuff going on with him. But
so yeah, it's Santos. So one of
yes, Santos.
Santos came up to you and said that?
Yeah, I don't like the way you play football, and I'm actively trying to replace you every day. And I was like, oh, great. Thank you.
Guess I'll just finish my lunch then.
Why would he have said that to you?
He didn't like the way I played football. I can't fault the guy. You don't like something, you got to change it.
But I think you can fault him a little bit, Logan.
Two things. First of all, you were good in your role. You're the second or third tight end. You can block. You can make a catch. You're going to hang on to the ball. You're going to catch anything in the catch radius. You executed your role very well. So that's egregious that he would think that. But even like if you were the TE1, maybe get upset. Maybe. But what is? And also, just
keep
saying that to someone,
yourself.
What a terrible work environment you've created.
It's not. I mean, that's the thing about the NFL, man. People can say whatever they want to you, and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess I can. I guess I'll be better tomorrow, coach. I'll see ya. Bye.
But do you think good GMs are doing that? Probably not. I bet you Chris Ballard's not walking up to some guy with the Colts going,
hey, you suck, buddy. Enjoy your steak.
You're going to play on Sunday and play critical downs for us, but in the meantime, I just want you to know that I hate your guts.
Yeah. I don't think so. Like, when I was in, not to say that the guy in Atlanta was a great GM, but, like, he was always very kind. You know what I mean? And good GMs, John Lynch, one that comes to mind, just very kind. They understand that it's hard to play football. I know it's unwritten. It's an unwritten rule. Like, they're trying to replace me every single day. I know that. I know. I'm there. I'm with it. I'm hip. But, you know, like, they don't have to tell you that to your face, I guess.
So what – was this in season?
I think it was. I think it was, like, week 4 or 5. I don't remember exactly because it all kind of blurred together. But I was like, wow, that makes me feel good about myself. Thank you.
What an unbelievably stupid thing for someone to do.
I know that wasn't, you were just trying to tell the story to get a chuckle, but like, we're not going to let that one go. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, come on, guys. It's not that big of a deal. I'm fine. That's
I know you are.
No, but it speaks to an entire environment that's just unacceptable.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fair. Yeah, I'll buy that.
Well, Logie, again, and by the way, he linked me with him. He's like, so you're not the only one, Grant.
Yeah, you and Alex Santos are the same.
No.
This was a joke. It was a bit, and it happened. It's a true event. But what I'm saying is that I do think, like, yeah, you don't want, I'm in agreement with you, Grant. I'm not trying to.
No, I hear you. Do you think he was doing a bit with you when he did that? Was he
being funny?
Was he being funny?
I remember I kind of laughed, like, and then he, like, didn't laugh back, and I was like, oh, like, this is serious.
That is unbelievable. Wow. Well, thank you for that story. I've never heard a story quite like that.
You're welcome, yeah. Makes me, I'm glad you guys liked it.
And I want you to know that there's a place for you on any team I ever coach, my guy.
I'll be on the sideline. I'll hold the clipboard. I know you.
Well,
I
was going to say play caller. I was
you coordinated the hell out of my offense.
You're not going back out on the field, okay?
Yeah.
I hate the way you play.
I appreciate that.
Only time I ever got after Logan, he could tell you this, in the locker room a couple times. If he dropped a pass, I was on his ass.
Oh, yeah. Dude, nothing is more annoying than when a reporter comes up and is like, so why'd you drop that pass? Like, what happened? And you're like, yeah, because I like dropping passes, guy. Like, get away. You know what I mean?
But I was on your ass, Logie.
You know what I love to do is drop passes. I just did it for fun.
It's my favorite.
I can't have it. It's the one thing that I can do in my yard is catch a football that's thrown to me. I need you to catch everything that's thrown to you. That's all I need.
And that's a very reasonable expectation.
You're my guy.
I know. No, you're also my guy. And I'm not. I hope I didn't sound mad there. It is.
You're not mad at all. No, we're all. No, everybody's fine. Everybody's fine. All right, see you.
Talk to you next week, buddy.
Go eat some kale.
All right, buddy. I'll see you guys.
All right, love him. There's Logan Paulson on Grant and Denny.
What a story.
What a thing to say to someone. Weirdly, they didn't win that year.
I'm stunned.
It was the director of their pro scouting department. I mean, that is unbelievable.
So maybe that's the culture part of things that people are always talking about?
The culture was damn good. Grant and Denny, what are we playing for tickets next?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.